Before our scripture reading, please turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26, your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1039, and beginning with verse 52, we'll read through verse 56. The text verse is the 56th verse. Then after reading these verses, we'll turn to yet one other verse. Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 52. We'll read responsively through verse 56, page 1039. And may we stand, please, for the reading of God's precious word. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. And the 56th verse together, please. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. John 19, 19th chapter of John, verse 26, page 1142 in your Schofield Bible. John 19, 26, we'll read this verse together. Ready? When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And let's pray. And Lord, we thank thee so for thy word and for the fact that it's true. It's what we need. It's all we need. And all that goes on here in this place, the many ministries, many things that are done and said through the course of a week and on the Lord's Day. It's all centered around your word. And thank you for giving it. Thank you for a preacher who preaches it. And now remind us once again of our responsibility to listen, to hear with care thy word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on this subject. Thank you, John. Thank you, John. You will be halfway into my message before you will find the purpose of it. But if you will linger with me for that halfway journey, you will find one of the sweetest things in all the Bible. And I think one of the most precious and one of the sweetest moments in all the Bible. And so this morning, I ask you to listen on purpose for several reasons. First is, you need to hear what's going to be said. This is not a place we come and perform a ritual of going to a building, a church building every week just because it's the time to go. It's a time of feeding, a time of inspiring, a time of instruction, and I trust today a time of encouragement. I'm taking you this morning to Calvary. I ask you to go with me and live with me there for just a few minutes. And may we have a hush about us as we sit and view the cross. Our Heavenly Father, bless our moments together. Center our attention today upon Jesus. And especially upon that place where the price was paid in full for our redemption. Amen. It is beyond any doubt the saddest statement in the Bible. The nearest thing to it is that statement that our Lord made when he said, Will ye also go away? There are many sad statements in the Bible. He had no man when the water was troubled to put him into the pool. I looked on my right hand, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Will ye also go away? But beyond any doubt, the saddest word in the Bible are these. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. I can hardly quote them without weeping. Do you know where Jesus was? Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. He was on the cross. Nails in his hands and feet. Crown of thorns upon his head. Body beaten beyond human recognition. About to dip his own soul to the torments of hell. Then. That word then speaks volumes. Then. When he needed them. Then. When. At the darkest hour of his life. Then. When they should have been gathering around him and saying, that's my Savior there on the cross. Then. All the disciples forsook him and fled. Peter, don't you remember the words you spoke to me? When I asked you, whom say ye that I am? And you said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, aren't you going to stay with me? You said, if everybody else left me, you wouldn't. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Andrew, are you going away too? Don't you remember that day when 5,000 hungry folks were at the side of the sea? And there was nothing to eat, and you it was, Andrew, that got that little boy to bring me his lunch basket. Don't you remember, Andrew, how I blessed that little basket of loaves and fishes. And you and I together fed those 5,000 people. Don't you remember that? Are you also going away? Then the disciples forsook him and fled. James, are you going away? Don't you remember? I took you and Peter and John into that little private place where I raised or healed Peter's mother-in-law. And I took you on Mount Tabor for the Transfiguration. I mean, you, James, and Peter and John, the only three people on earth, you were there. You saw me transfigured. You saw my glory. You saw the little sneak preview of the coming millennial age. Are you going to leave? Then, all the disciples forsook him and fled. I hate to go to John. John, are you going to leave? How many times has your head laid on my breast? How many times, John? Have I called you the disciple whom I love? John, are you going to go away? Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Philip, are you going to leave? Don't you remember the upper room? When I took a towel and girded myself and got a basin and some water and I washed your feet. Philip, are you going to leave? And all the disciples forsook him and fled. Bartholomew, don't you recall back yonder, just not many months ago, in the early hours of my ministry, Philip came to you and said,
come and see. And you said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. And don't you remember, Bartholomew? You came, you saw, you believed, you followed me these years. Are you going to leave? Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Judas, you saw me walk on the water. James the less, you were there in the day when I called the 12 and put your name on the list. Thomas, a little bit of a doubter. But Thomas, you remember, I healed the sick in your presence. You saw me raise the dead. You saw me still the storm, calm the wave, bless the little children. Thomas, are you going to leave? Folks, listen to me. Can you imagine the hurt that must have filled the breast of deity? Nobody who had followed him stayed with him. Matthew, we don't think of Matthew as being one of the 12 very often. Matthew, don't you remember the day you got saved at the seat of custom? Don't you remember the time you gave that big banquet and I came and you introduced the people to me and told me that I was yours? You stood for me then, Matthew. Are you going to leave too? Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I think I see a faint smile on Jesus' face. Nails in his hands. He's the mock king. Crown of thorns on his brow. Hated. He's heard the words, crucify him! Crucify him! Let Barabbas go! Loose Barabbas! Crucify him! And all the disciples forsook him and fled. But I think I see a faint smile. One is coming back. You know who it is. Who is it? Who is it? Of course it's John. John is coming back. John said, I can't go through with this. Let all of them leave him. I'm going to stand for him. You say, how did you know he came back? Because you read a while ago. Jesus was on the cross and he said, woman, behold thy son. And he said to John, behold thy mother. So John was there. John came back. John took his stand. I want to just pause here to say, thank God he's a God of a second chance. Thank God he's a God of a second chance. Now, we're not people of a second chance, but he's a God of a second chance. If I could talk sinners into receiving sinners as much as I could talk perfection, God into receiving sinners, it'd be a wonderful world in which to live down here. We'll stomp a fellow before he gets a second chance. But thank God! Let me say this morning, I don't care what you've done. Our God is the God of the second chance. Crowd deep in sin you've gone. Our God is the God of the second chance. He can use you. He wants you. He loves you. I must hasten. There's John. To me, that's always been beautiful and sweet. This is Calvary, the pivotal point of human history, the origin of all the streams of history and all the rivers of prophecy. Calvary, into which all the streams of history flow and all the rivers of prophecy originate. Calvary, this is the most important time in all of human history. God in flesh died, paying the penalty, our substitute, our sacrifice. Jesus is about to speak. I wonder what he'll say. Certainly at this high hour of human history, certainly at this peak of history, he'll tell us some great truth about theology. Maybe he'll tell us some great truth about eschatology. Maybe he will settle once and for all the arguments concerning predestination. Shh, listen, he's about to speak. This is Calvary. Let's listen to the great words of wisdom that flow from his mouth. Mama. Mama, John's going to take care of you. These hands have cared for you and provided for you in the carpenter shop of Nazareth. But Mama, John's going to be your son now. John, take care of Mama. Isn't that beautiful? Take care of my Mama. Now follow me. I'm coming to the part of the sermon that describes the whole thing. 60 years pass. John has been faithful. John never one time has turned his back on that book. John never one time has quit preaching the gospel. With memories of leaning upon the Savior's breast, he tells the people everywhere he goes about the Savior whose breast he leaned on. One day while John is preaching, pastoring in the city of Ephesus, pastoring a church like this, big church, influential church, sort of the mother church of all the churches in the land, John was pastoring, and suddenly the doors opened back in the back. Down the aisle there came uniformed men with glistening sabers and drawn swords. And they said, Reverend, we have an order. You've got to do one of two things. You quit preaching that book, and you quit testifying in the name of Jesus Christ, or we're taking you out of your pulpit. John said, take away. I believe the book and I believe the Savior about whom it's written. And I will not quit preaching the book. And I will not quit testifying. And they take him away. They take him before a judge, and the judge pronounced him guilty. John is taken to a barren island. It's called the Island of Patmos. Deserted. Little island, uninhabited. The time. 15 miles in circumference. Just a little small spot in the sea. And John is taken there and placed to live and die on that island. It's Sunday morning. I don't know how John felt. I can't comprehend the Sunday morning coming without getting to preach. I don't know how he felt, but the thought of that faithful servant of God being on that island, unable to preach. It's Sunday morning. John's alone with his memories of probably 90 some odd years. 60 of those years pastoring churches. 3 of those years handling the own flesh and blood of Jesus Christ and his own head leaning on the lovely breast of our wonderful Lord. And there's John on Sunday morning. John remembers. He longs to preach. He probably thinks that maybe the people of Ephesus are meeting for church at that very moment. He remembers the time that he had sat there and the times he stood behind their pulpit and preached the truth. And John's lonely. He's alone. He's by himself. All of a sudden, he hears a voice. He sees a couple of hands coming down towards him. He notices they have scars in them. John turns to see the voice. And he finds out as he hears the voice saying, I am he that was alive and dead and alive forevermore. And I think I know what Jesus said. John, 60 years ago, I was alone. And you came to me. Now that you're alone, I've come to you. That's my thought for today. 60 years ago,
My disciples forsook me and fled. And I was on a cross, hated, rejected, crucified, suffering eternity's hell for sinners. John, I'll never forget, but I could not move my hands or my feet because love had nailed me to a cross. I looked out and I saw you coming back. And John, you stood by me when I was alone. I've come to stand by you when you're alone. I brought something with me, John. I brought a VCR. Got some home movies I want to show you. John said, turn it on. Reruns beat nothing. He turns it on. He said, John, I got something to show you. I want to show you, John, a picture. John said, good night. That's a bunch of bodies going up in the air. I said, Jesus said, yeah, John, that's what yours going to do one of these days, too. I want to show you, John, what to call a rapture. I want to show you, John, that someday the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise and the living are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and God's people will always be with the Lord. I want you to see it, John. I didn't know, John. I want you to look down now on the earth. I want you to see 7 years of pain and sorrow. John said, what's so good about that? Jesus said, because you ain't going to be there. Look where you're going to be, John. While a man of sin is running wild down here and the National Council of Churches is taking over, joined up with the United Nations, and while the tribulation period is going on and men are dying with AIDS and many other diseases God has reserved for a godless, forsaken, wicked nation who won't believe Him and who will live with a sex-crazed, sex-mad lifestyle, God said, I've got a lot of other disease. And let me tell you something, brother. If you think AIDS is the last one, you ain't seen nothing yet. You wait till God gets through judging this pagan world of ours. John says, what's so good about looking at that? Jesus said, because there you are right up there, John. That robe right there is yours. That's where you are, John. You up there at the marriage of the Lamb. Look at it. You're up there with Jesus, singing His praises, being crowned at the judgment seat and taking your crowns off and throwing them at Jesus' feet. There you are, John. John said, this place called Patmos not as bad as I thought it was. This beats Ephesus. Any place beats anywhere if Jesus is there. He said, John, I got some more things I want to show you. I want to show you about at the end of that 7 year period, we're going to go horseback riding. And all the redeemed are going to saddle on white horses. A professor in college told me, he said, that's symbolic. It's in our day that it said Sherman tanks. I said, you ride a tank back if you want to, Buster. But I'm coming back on old paint. Silver. Hi-o. John, you see that great army, that great cavalry coming back? Clothed in white robes, on white horses, they're coming back to establish a kingdom. And for 1,000 years, John, I myself am going to rule this whole world. And you're going to rule with me. John said, boy, I like this. I like this tape. Where'd you get this one? Jesus said, John, I want to show you something else. I want to show you, look up there. I want to show you a holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Look at it, John. Oh my, John looks. And there it is, coming down from God out of heaven. 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, foundations of all kind of precious stone. A city where crepes shall never darken the doorknob, and nobody will ever go to the hospital, and no cemeteries will mar the landscape, and no cancer, and no heart attacks, and no tuberculosis. No little boys and girls with leukemia, no car accidents, and no little children in a coma this morning, and no people dying, and no illness, and no hospitals.
and no undertakers, and no graveyards, and no cemeteries, and no markers, and no tombstones, and no death, and no pain, and no suffering, and no sorrow. And Jesus will be the main attraction of it. Look at there, John. John says, Jesus, I want to thank you for coming. Thank you when I'm lonely. Not for forgetting me. Jesus said, John, I had to come. 60 years ago, I was alone. Peter, the Pope, forsook me. Andrew, steady, faithful Andrew, forsook me. James, efficient, proper James, forsook me. Thomas, Bartholomew, Judas, James the Less, Levius, Matthew, they all forsook me. Simon, the other Simon, they all forsook me. John, you came back when I was alone. When I saw you alone, I just had to come. Ladies and gentlemen, one day you may be in a rest home, forgotten. One day you may walk away from a grave alone with the dearest of life laid to rest. One day you may be lying in intensive care with them watching those little things going up and down and checking to see if your pulse is still active. One day you may be unable to talk, sitting in a wheelchair with a stroke. You're going to want Jesus there. You want Him there then when you're alone. You stand by Him now while He's alone. Jesus is alone now. He's alone where you work. He's alone. Stand by Him. Stand up for Him. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Stand for Him while He's alone. He's alone in your school today. You stand beside Him while He's alone. He's alone at Great Lakes Naval Base today. You stand beside Him now. You'll not be sorry later. What I'm saying is Jesus came and said, thank you, John. Thank you, John. You stood for me. I remind Him now. Often. I said, Jesus, I'm not a great preacher, never have been, but I've stood for you. I really have. I stood for you in junior high school when they elected the president of the senior class. And they asked me to lead the conga line at the senior dance, and I didn't do it. I told Mrs. Kerr that I was a Christian. I stood for you when you were alone at Dallas Story Junior High School. I stood for you in high school. They took me home for my senior day date because I wouldn't go to the movie on a Sunday night. I told them I was a Christian, that I loved Jesus, and I stood for you. I remind him of that. I remind him how when I played sports, I stood for him. Championship game of the state of Texas, championship fast pitch softball game. 3,500 teams in Texas, we were playing for the championship, and I was the only pitcher they had. But Jesus, they played the game on a Sunday night, and I went to church. I didn't go pitch. They cursed me and made fun of me, but I went ahead. I stood for you. I stood for you when I was in the Army, and you know I did. I never smoked a cigarette, never took a drink, never rustled an unholy skirt, never even said a curse word. I'm not perfect, but I didn't know that in those days that little hippie-like picture of Jesus that they have of you down there that some effeminate fellow painted, I thought that was really you then. And I had that little picture up behind my book, and I had Matthew 6:33 up there on the shelf. And everybody that ever came in a barracks where I live, they saw that scripture up there. When I was in the Army, I stood for you. I stood for you in college, Jesus. They thought I was a nut. When the English professor, head of the English department, said that nudity wasn't wrong in the Baptist college, I stood for you. And I stood for you when they profaned your name. And I stood for you in seminary when they laughed at you. Made fun of soul winning. I stood for you.
I remind him regularly now. I stood for you in my denomination. I gave up my friends of a lifetime. The honor of my school and in some respects my own home church. I've stood for you. I really have. I've not been perfect. But I've held, I believe, the book all the way through. And I've stood for you. Jesus, don't forget me now. I'm getting old. Don't forget me. You'll be glad someday if you stand for him. You stand for him. While he's alone at your job, at your school, at your play, in your neighborhood, you stand for him while he's alone. I'll guarantee you, as sure as God in heaven be God, I'll guarantee you, in that hour when you're alone, you'll hear a voice and feel a hand, and you'll turn to see nail prints in that hand. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful, wonderful story. You didn't forget, did you? He didn't forget John. That's so sweet. 60 years had passed, but you haven't forgotten. He stood with you when you were alone. And you stood with him when he was alone. Forgive us because we failed so often to stand for you. Help our people as the gospel gets less and less popular. And as this modern, watered-down brand of fundamentalism gets more and more popular, and as the ecumenical movement increases and enlarges, as old-time religion gets less popular, help us to stand for you with that sweet assurance that one day, when we're alone, those nail-scarred hands will be outstretched.